Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the Jewish synagogues. John was with them as their helper. They traveled through the whole island until they came to Paphos. There they met a Jewish sorcerer and false prophet named Bar-Jesus, who was an attendant of the proconsul Sergius Paulus. The proconsul, an intelligent man, sent for Barnabas and Saul because he wanted to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for that is what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, "You are a child of the devil and an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You are going to be blind for a time, not even able to see the light of the sun." Immediately, mist and darkness came over him, and he groped about, seeking someone to lead him by the hand. When the proconsul saw what had happened, he believed, for he was amazed at the teaching about the Lord. And this is God's word for his people. Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Friends, a couple of housekeeping notes before we jump in. VBS is coming up. It's not this week, but it's next week. Yeah, and the kids are doing a blessed list. One of the things we always want to do with these kind of bigger children events, so we want to teach our kids to be missionaries, amen? So if you have kids that are going to be there, we invite you to help them come up with a list of people that they can be praying for, they can invite to be a part of VBS, and then pray with them. Make that a real practice, because we want to teach them to be disciples who make disciples of Jesus. Lastly, let's just talk about Sam Wilkinson. So he's up here rocking it out on the bass, and then he throws the bass behind him, pulls out the viola, and then throws the bass back up. I want to say, y'all give it up for Sam. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. That's what makes the guitar such a cool instrument. You can just throw it behind you. That's right. Let me pray for us. Lord, we love you, and we just ask you to speak to us through your word. We would hear you today. Fill it with power by your spirit. We love you, and we thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen. So years ago, I received a letter that seemed to come out of the blue, but it was really, more candidly speaking, it seemed to come right from the enemy. You see, the ministry, we had discerned that God was calling us to take a specific step, and this letter arrived in the mail just to let me know that a third party was seeking to stop us from moving in that direction, a direction we clearly knew was God's will. So I decided to drive over to the church, and I came into the sanctuary, and I cried out to God. And when I say I cried out to God, I mean I cried out to God. It got loud up in here. Thankfully, no one else was here, because if other people had been here, they might have thought I was strange. But we know that's not true, so in that prayer time, I found my inner charis Methodist. The Lord led me to this passage, the passages of the plagues in Exodus. And I kid you not, I began to pray for God to execute justice on the spiritual enemy that was trying to hold us back through human agency. Now, what I want you to notice was I didn't pray the plagues down on the people. I prayed the plagues down on the spiritual enemy that I think was operating through the people. Do you see the difference? Now, perhaps you're just checking out Christianity and you're like, this whole spiritual warfare thing, I don't know if I believe that. You know, the angels and demons thing, I'm not about that. Let me say this, I get your reservation, I really do. But I would ask you to consider, are there times in life, particularly when we are facing conflict, where 2 + 2 doesn't seem to equal 4? Right? Where no matter how you try to resolve the situation or what you try to say, it just seems like things don't get any better. Friends, the devil is called the accuser of the brethren. So if God's word brings order out of chaos, guess what Satan's word does? It brings chaos back into God's order. It brings accusation. What were God's first words? Let there be light, and there was light. And then what does it say in the text? It says God separated the light from the darkness, and he saw that the light was good. Have you ever thought about what twilight is, besides a bad series of movies? Twilight is where the sun is below the horizon, and it's just light enough to be operative to do stuff, and it's just dark enough to hide. Friends, that's where the enemy likes to work. He likes to work in twilight, where there's just enough light to operate and just enough darkness to hide. But friends, spiritual warfare separates the light from the darkness. So in situations where 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4, it could be that there is another work at play. There's another in the chaos. And in those situations, you need prophetic perspective. Like a pilot that takes the plane up above the cloud line, you need to get up where you can see it from God's perspective. Put another way, we need worship. Why? Because worship hears and speaks prophetically. And that destroys the twilight. Let's jump into the text. So first of all, you got all these people from very different backgrounds. And they're worshiping the Lord and fasting. And what happens? The Holy Spirit speaks. Our expectation in worship should be that we have come to commune to God. Commune with God. Amen? Not to worship ceiling tiles. We should come with a belief that God wants to speak. And that mission flows out of hearing His voice. And notice the Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So through worship, the Holy Spirit is setting them apart for God. He's setting them apart for God's mission. And through worshiping and prayer, Paul and Barnabas are hearing from God before they are in the battle. Let me say this. If you're in the military, you know that you want to begin to understand the voice and the commands of your commanding officer while you're in boot camp. Amen? Not when you're on the battlefield. So we need to learn to hear God's voice through scripture, through worship, through fasting, through prayer. And friends, hear me on this. I don't believe there's a demon behind every bush. I also do believe that spiritual warfare sometimes gets blamed when it's just really my own poor decision making. Amen? You know, the devil's been attacking my finances. He's been attacking my finances. Maybe. Or maybe that monthly payment on your Mercedes G-Class is attacking your finances. Amen? So all jokes aside, regarding spiritual warfare, scholar N.T. Wright says that there are more things in heaven and on earth than we've dreamed of in modern Western philosophies. And some of those things can be very, very dangerous. There is simply no way you can read the New Testament and not believe in spiritual warfare. So we must learn to hear God's voice and worship in prayer. But we also must know that guess where God's voice will sometimes lead us? Directly into battle. When Moses has an encounter with God on Mount Horeb, in the beginning of Exodus, what does God tell him to do? go to Egypt, have conflict with Pharaoh and set my people free. What happens when Jesus gets baptized by John? He comes up out of the water filled with the Holy Spirit. What does the word say? It says, led by the Holy Spirit, he went into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. So what's happening with Paul and Barnabas? They've just heard from God, and guess what the Holy Spirit is doing? He is leading them directly into the battle. We're told a proconsul sent for Barnabas and Saul because they wanted to hear the word of God. Friends, what I want you to notice is the proconsul is looking for the light. But this Jewish sorcerer, Bar-Jesus, which literally, by the way, means son of Jesus, is bringing about the darkness. He's wanting to keep the proconsul in the darkness. And I want to say this. You parents, you name your kids well. And surely Bar-Jesus' parents had higher aspirations. If we name him the son of Jesus, maybe he'll become pretty cool. But he became a sorcerer. So I'm just saying, sometimes it doesn't work out the way you hope. That's just there. It just made me laugh. So I have a question for you. What is the situation in your life where you need prophetic perspective? Where you need prophetic perspective? The place in your life where there's enough light for the enemy to work and enough darkness for him to hide. What is the place where 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4? Maybe it's a family relationship that just feels hard. It feels like there's a wall up and no matter what you do, you can't get around it. Maybe it's a situation at work that feels unnecessarily hard. Like miscommunication is guiding everything. Maybe it's an aspect in your marriage where for the life of you, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you've tried, it just seems to never get better and it feels hopeless. Friends, in those situations, you need prophetic perspective. You need to see what God sees. Amen? So, friends, we're going to do things a bit differently this morning because we're in a series on worship. We're going to ask God about that specific situation. Cindy's going to come up, and we're going to spend some time just worshiping God, and then we're going to ask him specifically, Lord, what are you saying over this situation? And don't get excited. I've still got a whole lot more to preach to you, so we're not getting out early. You're okay. You're okay. So, friends, let's worship, and then I want you to sit that particular situation in front of God. Just tell him about it and then say, God, show me what you're saying over this. Help me to see what you see and what you are speaking over this situation and then listen. So let's start with worship and then we'll ask that of the Lord.
We're just going to sing this simple truth a couple of times together.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. We believe it, Lord. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. Just take a minute. Let the Lord speak to us about that issue.
Right now, offer that situation. Just tell Jesus what that situation is. It just seems like 2 + 2 does not equal 4. And ask him to speak to you. Ask him to tell you what's going on and what he is saying over that situation. Just take a minute and do that. Thank you.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles.
Lord, we bless you. And God, we just pray that you would just continue to reveal truth, that we could stand on your truth in this situation. Lord, whatever the situations may be, that we could stand on your truth. We love you and we thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Let me say this. Some of you had already heard a word over that situation before we even prayed. And you kind of knew what God was saying. And you've been standing on that for a while. Some of you, while we did that, you got an impression from the Lord, or you got a direct word from the Lord, or you got a scripture that just really is like, yeah, that's what's going on here. That's great. That's awesome. We're going to use that in a minute. For others of you, you've just kind of begun that conversation with God about the situation at hand, and maybe you didn't get a direct word or an impression, but that's okay. You've started the conversation. Now, by faith, believe that he's going to speak to you. Amen? Because, friends, here's the thing. James says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of the Father, who gives freely to all without finding fault, which means God is not looking at you trying to find the fault so that he won't speak to you. Amen? Because our righteousness is not based on us, it's based on Christ. Okay? So have some confidence. But once you have prophetic perspective, now what? What do you do with it? Now that you have prophetic perspective, what do you do with it? In verse 3, the text says, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The Nicene Creed says that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. My question to you is, what does it mean to be apostolic? What does it mean to be apostolic? It's a sent people, okay? Friends, here's the thing. We are a sent people, and we bring heavenly order to an earthly realm when we operate on a spiritual level. Let me say that again. Y'all awake? Okay, good, good. Y'all just seem very quiet today. We bring heavenly order to an earthly realm when we operate in the spirit, when we operate on a spiritual realm. And how did God bring heavenly order to the earthly realm? He spoke. He spoke, right? So friends, here's the thing. That's why prophetic perspective really matters, because the power is not in the words themselves. Please hear me on this. The power is not in the words themselves. The power is in coming in agreement with the all-powerful one who is speaking them. The power is in operating in agreement with what God is saying in the situation. And friends, I hope you notice this is the opposite of name it, claim it theology. Y'all know what name it, claim it theology is? It's where I try to use words to bend God's will to my own desires. Let me say that again. Name it, claim it theology is where I try to use words to bend God's will to my desires. So, Lord, I need transportation. So I'm just thanking you for that Mercedes G-Class, Lord. Thank you so much. If you drive a Mercedes G-Class, I want you to know there's no judgment up in here. I'm just jealous. That's really all that's going on. Friends, unlike name it, claim it theology, prophetic perspective starts with the will of God. It starts with seeking his will and then coming into agreement with what he is saying over a situation. Do you hear the difference? Friends, prophetic perspective calls earth into the alignment with heaven, into alignment with heaven. And firstly, it looks like coming into agreement through prayer. Let me tell you all about prayer that operates in power. Prayer that operates in power functions kind of like breathing. God breathes into us, and then we breathe back to him what he is saying. Do you hear that that's different than me just telling God what I want? And so, friends, for example, you're listening for God, and maybe God gives you the discernment of spirits. Maybe he begins to show you spiritually what's going on, that there might be a spirit of offense operative in a situation. And so as a consequence, your prayer becomes something like this. In the mighty name of Jesus, I command the spirit of offense to be bound, to go straight to Jesus for the judgment. And God, in Jesus' name, I ask you to release angels to battle on my behalf and on the behalf of the opposing party. I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on both of us. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Now, friends, what I want you to notice is there was some passion behind that prayer. Why? Because we need to believe that God will use our prayers to change earthly realities as we operate in the Spirit. Amen? Yeah. Friends, it is right and good to pray with passion. And let me say this, when it comes to dealing with demonic stuff, the scripture over and over and over again says that Jesus spoke to the Spirit sternly. Now, if Jesus needed to speak sternly, I'm willing to believe that I also need to speak sternly. Amen? Yeah. But let me say this. Sometimes the only direction the prophetic needs to go is just in prayer. But sometimes it needs to go not just in prayer, it needs to go to a person. Why? Because in Ephesians 6, Paul famously said, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Notice here, however, Paul says to Bar-Jesus, you are a child of the devil, an enemy of everything that is right. You are full of all kinds of deceit and trickery. Will you never stop perverting the right ways of the Lord? What's the point? The enemy is always spiritual, but sometimes it's also physical. The enemy is always spiritual, but sometimes it's also physical. Meaning that Satan is always at work to bring chaos and destruction in relationships. But if somebody's heart is particularly hard, if their heart is rebellious against God, that hardened heart aligns flesh and blood with demonic plans and purposes. Let me say that again. A hardened heart aligns flesh and blood with demonic plans and purposes. Why? Because the hardened person is seeking for it to be on earth as it is in hell. The hardened person is seeking for it to be on earth as it is in hell. And maybe they're not consciously seeking, but the enemy wants to use them for that purpose. And so Paul calls out the twilight in Bar-Jesus. He sees the man who is called a son of Jesus is actually a son of the devil, meaning that his life source, what fed his soul, was accusation and chaos. Through deception, he was warring against righteousness, warring against God's will. But here's the thing. When people have a hard heart against God, sometimes God picks a fight. When people have a hard heart against God, sometimes God picks a fight. But he picks a fight for the sake of the lost. The text says, Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looks straight at Elymas and prophetically proclaims God's judgment. Now the hand of the Lord is against you. You're going to be blind for a time and not even able to see the light of the sun. Friends, through worship and fasting, the Holy Spirit leads them directly into the battle. And then he empowers them to see into the heart of this man who's being used as a pawn in the enemy's hands. Do you see? Worship hears and speaks prophetically, and it destroys the twilight. Friends, God is indeed destroying the twilight. He's separating light from darkness. Why? Because he loves the proconsul. He wants the proconsul to walk in the light of salvation. But hear me on this. He also loves Bar-Jesus. And out of love, God forced Bar-Jesus to come face to face with his own spiritual darkness. Do you see God is separating light from darkness? Friends, this is what Bar-Jesus desperately needed. He needed to feel his blindness. In the Methodist circles, we call this convicting grace, right? He came to step one. He came to believe that life had become unmanageable, and he needed a power greater than himself to set him free. And indeed, he starts blindly groping, trying to find his way. Instead of seeking to lead this great political leader, someone is having to lead him by the hand. Carolyn often says, the way God has worked in your life in the past is probably the way God will work in your life in the future. I wonder what Paul was thinking. Perhaps Paul was remembering how he himself was saved. In Acts chapter 9, before his conversion, Paul is breathing murderous threats. He's trying to arrest the people of God. And then guess what? Jesus shows up, and what does Jesus do? He blinds him. And so, like Bar-Jesus, Paul knew what it was like to be blinded, to be humbled, to be led around by the hand. And at the end of 3 days of fasting and prayer, Paul was set free from the spirit of murder and filled with the Holy Spirit. So my suspicion is, instead of giving in to frustration and offense, Paul has the same hope for Bar-Jesus, that Bar-Jesus would come to salvation, that Bar-Jesus would trade places from a child of the devil to a child of God. Friends, like Paul, we need to know that the secret to victory is you must let the battle remain the Lord's battle. This is really, really important that we get this. You must let the battle remain the Lord's battle. Years ago, I was doing deliverance ministry with a guy, and the demonic manifestation was just crazy. I mean, he started yelling, and when I say yelling, like, he was yelling really loudly all kinds of degrading things at me. And all I could think of was, I wonder what people are thinking that are walking down the halls right now. Just another day at Mosaic. Friends, but I remember something really, God showed me something right in that moment. That demon was trying to make the battle about me. He was belittling me. He was saying that I didn't have the power to do what was necessary. He was attacking my identity. Friends, here's the thing. Demons want to make the battle about you because they can defeat you. They just can't defeat the one who's with you. Come on, somebody. Yeah. You see, in deliverance session, I didn't come in the name of Chris. I came in the name of Christ. Friends, and so I spoke sternly to that demon. I said, this is not about me. This is about King Jesus. It's about his power and his authority, and all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him. Now I command you in Jesus' name, you go straight to Jesus for the judgment and you bother this person no more. And 30 minutes later, that demon left. Friends, the enemy wants to make the battle about you. And when we take on resentments, we allow it to become about us. When we believe the lies that the enemy speaks, that he often speaks through a difficult person, guess what? We allow the battle to become about us. Friends, but when we refuse, when we let the battle remain in the Lord's hands, it stays in very capable hands. And this is why we so desperately need to worship. In his encounter that blinded him with the Lord, Jesus said to Paul, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. What's the point? When you surrender to Jesus, you enter into a marriage. A marriage covenant where Jesus identifies with you. Amen? That's why we're called the bride of Christ. Through worship, as I behold his beauty, it becomes more and more present in my heart that I am his and he is mine. It becomes more apparent to me, more settled in my soul, that when you mess with the Lord's people, you mess with the Lord himself. That when the enemy messes with the Lord's bride, he awakens a powerful bridegroom. He awakens Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of angel armies. So when we refuse resentments, when we refuse to fight fire with fire, when we refuse to listen to the lies of the enemy, and instead we start worshiping, and instead we start fasting, and instead we start listening for what God is saying and speaking what God is saying, that's when we stand on our identity in Christ. That's when we stand in his death, the death that took the place of our sin so that we don't listen to the words of shame. That's when we stand in the resurrection that guarantees our resurrection. It's when we stand in his victory, when we operate like all power and authority now belongs to the ascended Lord who has ascended to the throne. Friends, when we speak what he is speaking, we start to see it be on earth as it is in heaven. And that's what we should be after. Friends, yes, that's the worship that hears and speaks prophetically and destroys the twilight. So my question to you is this. We're about to prepare for communion. What is the Lord saying that you need to proclaim in prayer? What is the Lord saying that you need to proclaim in prayer? Friends, Christianity is not a spectator sport. If you want to see kingdom fruit in your life, you have to step into it. Amen?
Yes.
So maybe there's a situation in your life that you need to receive prophetic perspective on. You need to hear what God is saying, and you don't yet have it. When you receive communion, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. I'm going to invite you to come down to the altar and again, lay that situation before God and wait upon the Lord. Wait on him to speak. Listen for what he might say. As Bishop John Paina Alter recently said, let your knowledge of God be deeper than your knowledge of the problem. So come and ask the Lord. Tell him about your situation and then wait on him to respond. For others of you, God has already shown you. We prayed earlier, and you have a sense of what God is speaking over that situation. If that's you, after you receive communion, I invite you to, again, also come to the altar and then begin to pray in agreement with that. Pray in the mighty name of Jesus. If the Lord is speaking peace over a situation that has just been nothing but peace, or nothing like peace, I should say, utter chaos, begin to speak peace over that situation in Jesus' name. If there's been some spiritual thing that you're sensing at work that God is showing you, in Jesus' name, command it to go to Jesus for the judgment. And do it with passion. Do it like God wants to give you power and authority in that situation. Let's prepare for communion.